A New Beginning, Part 7, The People of the Book, Continued. Before the Advent season, we began talking about the need to be people of the book. We talked about how God has called each of us to have a part in serving His church and building His kingdom on earth. But we can't build any way we please. We have to build according to the book, with Jesus Himself and His teachings as the foundation. We get the foundation right, and we can build with confidence that what we build will last. There's a term in theology which you might be familiar with called means of grace. By the simplest definition, grace is unmerited favor or unconditional love. I found this definition of grace: the love and mercy given to us by God because God desires us to have it, not because of anything we have done. Well, that's very concise and clear. But there's another side to grace, an empowering side. It's about the effect of grace on us and in us. So I also found this additional meaning of grace: unmerited divine assistance given to us so that it is unmerited favor based on unconditional love, but it's also divine assistance to live the life God calls us to. So we might use the word grace to say, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. It is by grace God saved us, His unmerited favor. But we would also use the word to express the assistance we received by grace. We might say, God gave me His grace to endure this or that, or He gave me His grace to be patient with this person or that person. Grace in its essence, grace in its assistance. Two sides to grace. We know we need grace, daily grace to support our faith and give us victory over the darkness and live joyful and useful Christian lives. And there are means of grace, that is, ways in which this grace from God comes to us. I found this definition of means of grace to be helpful. The means of grace are God's appointed instruments by which the Holy Spirit enables believers to receive Christ and the benefits of redemption. God assigned the Word, sacraments, and prayer to be the foremost means by which He communicates Christ and His benefits to believers. Unquote. I would add the fellowship of the saints to that list, the fellowship of other believers to that list, because as we have seen here in our gatherings, in the Bible study, Sunday worship, and the women's group, true Christian fellowship spreads a lot of grace around. But note that the first means of grace that was mentioned is the Word, the Scriptures. The Scriptures supply us with so much that is needed for our daily walk of faith. So let's look at how this is true, and some of what makes the Scriptures stand apart from anything else ever written by the children of men. To start with, the Word is alive. Hebrews 4:12 tells us that the Word of God is living and active. Those are not just lifeless letters on a page, they're alive. Not only are the Scriptures alive in themselves, but they have the power to produce life in those that study them. Proverbs 4:22 says, they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Life to those who find them. Well, the Word is also full of nourishment to us. As milk is to a newborn baby, so is the Word to our soul. 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. The Word is also true and eternally true. Psalms 119, 160 tells us, "All your words are true, all your righteous laws are eternal." And in Matthew 24, 35, Jesus tells us, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." And in Romans 15, 4, Paul tells us that everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. The word also has power to encourage. There's a whole lot of discouragement in the world today, but there is a greater and more powerful encouragement available to us, and it far outweighs anything discouraging that might be out there. And it's the Word, and only in the Word. Another way the Word gives life is by giving us faith. Romans 10:17. "Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ." Psalm 19 tells us several things about the word. Verse 7. And here, the word is mentioned as the law of the Lord, also statutes of the Lord, precepts, commands, decrees. All these things are represented in the word. "The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The decrees of the Lord are firm and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward." Isaiah 55:10 tells us how effectual the word is. It says, "As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields food for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I send it." And then Luke chapter 24, we find that remarkable encounter two disciples had with Jesus on the road to Emmaus. Jesus had been crucified, then raised from the dead. The news was just coming in about his resurrection, and people's heads were spinning, and they didn't know what to believe. But Jesus met two of them one night on the road, and they didn't know it was Jesus. He kept his identity secret from them. And it says Jesus explained the scriptures to them about why all this had to happen. Then he revealed himself to them and departed. Then verse 32 says, they asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" There is a burning that takes place as we read the word, meditate on the word, understand the word, consider its implications for us as the Holy Spirit applies that word to our heart. There is a burning, a good burning, and there is nothing else like it. Knowing what the living God is teaching us and how much he loves us with an everlasting love and what his eternal plans are for us, there can't help but be a burning. In Jeremiah 23, we find God being very grieved by false prophets turning people's hearts from God to idols. And God says to Jeremiah in verse 25, "I've heard what the prophets say who prophesy lies in my name. They say, 'I had a dream, I had a dream.' How long will this continue in the hearts of these lying prophets who prophesy delusions of their own minds? They think the dreams they tell one another will make my people forget my name, just as their ancestors forgot my name through Baal worship. Then it says, verse 28, let the prophet who has a dream recount the dream. But, now here's the part I wanted to get to, but let the one who has my word speak it faithfully. For what has straw to do with grain, declares the Lord. Now listen to this, verse 29. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? The word is like a fire, a good fire that warms and enlivens us and puts a holy passion in our hearts and a love for God and his ways. And the word is like a hammer. It doesn't break us in pieces, but it does break in pieces evil thoughts, hopeless thoughts, depressing thoughts, evil notions that we might want to put into practice. It breaks in pieces stubborn pride, bitterness, unforgiveness, twisted philosophies, lies of the evil one. Well, it breaks all these to pieces and liberates our mind and heart to love God, to love one another, and to walk together in the ways of Jesus. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, and in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing, cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease. Just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.